Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Awesome stuff. Great. Well, I am excited to be able to preach this morning. Word of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Someone's excited. I'm going to just share with you. I always talk about what I'm going to talk about. It's obvious, partnering with Hope. We've been getting good stuff out of this Hope series. If you missed these last couple weeks, you should go on and watch those. That was really good. It's been really, really, I feel like I just get enriched. And when I'm not here, I'm either going to watch it. I couldn't watch it because I was preaching while I was gone, actually. I was preaching there, so I couldn't watch it. But the minute I'm done, I'm like listening to the messages because I don't want to miss the flow of what God's speaking. And you'd be amazed how sometimes God's speaking the same thing to people all over the world because he's just an amazing God. But I'm going to continue on Hope. My real goal for today and for this service, I want to talk about partnering with Hope. And my real goal is to give you some real practical things that will light up, that's going to shift and change, that you're going to be able to live with that hope, that you know, who wants hopelessness? The opposite is that you'll feel hopeless. So if we could eradicate hopelessness, that'd be great. And I'm going to give you some tools so you can do just that. So, Father, I pray that you would bless our time, bless this service, lead and guide it, however you want to lead it. We just honor you and we recognize you and your strength and your power in this room. In the name of Jesus, somebody said, amen. I do want to tell you that I've been telling you we're raising money for a youth van. At the end of the service, we're going to receive an offering. I'm not going to forget this service. We're going to receive an offering at the end for the youth van. And I'm also going to, as we lead into the new year, and over this time, over these next weeks, I'm just believing in that we're going to do a first fruits offering at the beginning of the year. I just believe as you close a year, how you exit is how you enter, and how you enter is how you leave. So I want that to be blessed for everybody. So we're going to do that. There's no better thing than to give into a purpose that God himself is the only one who's obligated to bless and to return into your life. So children, there's no better mission field than our youth. So I want to talk about partnering with Hope. I'm going to set my clock and timer's ticking. Boom. You know, the decision we make to partner with Hope, it affects generations. It affects futures. It affects so much because he's challenging us to believe in the good that's to come, but there's so many different areas, and there's some areas, I mean, think about it. I mean, you could go into every single area that you need to hope. How many of you have ever had to, like, hope for a job? You know, have you ever been there where you're, like, hoping? I prayed for a lot of you going into a job. So anyway, I just wanted to share a few things with you. These were some, they polled and surveyed vice presidents and HR directors of some of the nation's largest corporations. And in these corporations, they asked them, what are your most unusual experiences interviewing prospective employees? Say prospective employees. All right. So that was their, okay, here we go. So one of them said, a job applicant, oh my goodness, he came in and he challenged the interviewer to an arm wrestle for the job. I'll take you out. I get the job. Ah, come on, really? That was hard. Anyway, these are true. One candidate said, I never finished high school because I'd been kidnapped and kept in a closet in Mexico. Doesn't have his high school diploma. These are the strangest things. Do you think that's strange? Okay, how many believe him? Okay, check this one out. A follically challenged candidate. Okay, a balding candidate excused himself when he returned. He's wearing a full hairpiece. He's like, oh, shoot, I forgot my... He went in the car and put his thing on, came back. Yeah, here I am. Deeper voice, too, probably. Anyway, and then check this one out. This is my personal favorite. This candidate, she comes in wearing earphones to the interview. And when she was asked to remove her earphones, she said that she told the interviewer, she said that I can listen to you and listen to music at the same time. She did the interview. She refused to take the earphones out. Who wants to hire her? Just saying, anyway. Interesting. What, this one's a good one. This lady, She comes in and she said, I didn't have time for lunch, so she takes a hamburger and fries out of her purse and starts eating during the interview. In and out. Really? Okay. And the last ones, we'll land this thing. Some of you are like, get on with it. An applicant interrupted the questioning to phone her therapist for advice. And the last but not least, the last one, the guy started going to sleep during the interview. He wakes up. I just can't imagine that. Anyway, just say goofy. Can I just tell you something? We all have some areas that we might not be the most competent, and we bring those to the table. And every time that we partner with Hope, we're bringing our inadequacies to Him so that we can be adequate in Christ. And if you partner with Hope, it changes the whole game. It changes everything. Because when we partner with Him, we get to take this natural and He puts super on our natural. I like that. He takes our test and turns it into a testimony. I like that. He takes our limits and we partner with the God who is just has endless and just unlimited possibilities. They open up when we partner with Hope. So I want to talk today about hope. I love the first message in the series Pastor Taylor preached on hope is. He talked about tikvah, hope is a rope. How many know that, you know, a rope, you tie things up and you can tie things together and you can tie things to you. Second message was on expectant hope. And we're talking about carry like Mary. Well, today I want to talk about partnering with hope. But I just want to ask you, what happens if you, how many know you can tie yourself to things that aren't so good? You can tie yourself and get wrapped up in sin and then try to run the race for Jesus. And everybody's passing you by and you're like, I'm trying. And it's like, how many know Lazarus gets raised from the dead, but they said, you know, take the grave clothes off of him. Jesus breathed life, but he needed some people to help him get free so the boy could move. Are you with me? So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he tells us, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let's lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. So sin can be a rope that tangles us. Proverbs tells us that we're held by the cords of our sin, but Jesus cuts those by the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody could say amen to that one. And then he tells us to run the race with endurance. And, you know, how are you going to carry like Mary? How are you going to carry hope if you got all this baggage? Have you ever seen somebody that's so weighted down, you try to tell them something good to do, and they're like, I can't do that. And you're like, really? This is really good. I can't do that. Because they're carrying so much, they can't even think about carrying anything else, even if that's the thing that's the blessing in their life. Are you with me? You could have a treasure. Here, carry this. I can't carry anything more. No, you want to carry this one. It's like sometimes we're carrying, but so there's sometimes we need to get untied with stuff and we need to let go of stuff so that we can run, so that we can partner with hope, so that we can enter into what God has for us. And we can see it. You know, you could say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Hey, we all have scars. We should have scars, but they shouldn't be open wounds. They can be open wounds, but there's a season and we should get healing. And if it's not healing, do something to get healing. Go to the Transformation Center. Go get sozoed. Go get whatever you need to get it. But we can get healing. So it's okay to come in with scars, but like we want to get healed. We don't want to carry an open wound forever. That's that you can't run very good with that. And so sometimes our wounds are from the pain of someone else. I have an open wound and I'm like, but he wounded me. And you're like, dude, get healed. No, it's his fault he wounded me. Okay, that's great. I get it that it's not your fault that you're wounded, but it is your fault that you're not healed. Because you're not partnering with what it takes to get healed. You're supposed to be on the field. You're not supposed to be on the bench. I used to compete. I had people do nasty things. I had a broken ribs. I still kept competing with broken ribs. You know why? Because I'm not going to let that person keep me out of the race. In this case, it was a ring, but I'm like, oh, break my ribs, I'm going to break yours. Anyway, I'm sorry. I wasn't saved. It was a fighting. It was supposed to be that way anyway. Football players, come on, they play injured. Cal Ripken, how did he start more games than anybody in baseball? He said, I learned to play injured. We got to get healed. Do whatever it takes to get healed, to get into the game, to enter in, to put our hope in motion. And we can all talk about it because there's all different things that we have past. We all have a past. And you all have a past kryptonite. Huh? You're super Christians, but you all have a kryptonite. This guy's might have been drinking. This person over here might have been a love of money. This person here might have been like, I don't know, you can name a bunch of them. I don't even want to think of all the different ways they're listed in the Bible. You can see all kinds of sins that hinder us. There's all kinds of kryptonite. But see, hope frees us so we have a kryptonite-free future. And we can identify what our kryptonite is and say, well, you know, if mine was drinking, I'm not going to even go around that. So if I just choose not to drink, you know, if it's addiction, stay away from things that'll get you addicted. Duh. That might not be his problem. He might be like, whatever, I could just have a drink. It doesn't bother me. But it's like, if I was an alcoholic, I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be smart enough to know I'm not going to play with the kryptonite that messed me up in the past. All I'm saying is we all have something back there, but let's let it get back there and not bring it into our future. And when you partner with God, he wants us to have this kryptonite-free future. And hope is saying the good that's expected is coming, and we'll have the strength to walk into it, to run the race that God's called us to. And that's partnering with hope. As we partner with hope, I was reading this story. I love these stories. And this one was about a fighter pilot, and the fighter pilot got shot down by those. He was a stealth fighter pilot. He's really high. It's nighttime. He's up in the air, way up there. He gets shot down by the whatever you call that, the anti-aircraft things. He gets shot, and he's coming down, and he's kind of freaking out, and he knows he's going down. And as he's thinking, so there was some dialogue from them and some on the military side. And he said this. He said, the ejection was so violent, the pilot said. He said, am I going to know when it's time to get out? Am I going to pull way up there, or when am I going to know? And this is the question in every fighter pilot's mind. And he said, the one fragment of this whole event is, he said, I can't remember pulling the ejection seat handles. And this is a Christian. He said, God took my hands and pulled. And he ended up landing in a field. He landed in this, and he hid in this gully for 6 hours until the Air Force Special Ops came and got him. But while he was hiding, they came within 30 yards. He said he saw flashlights, and the dogs came within 30 yards of where he was hiding. But you know what he said? It was amazing. He said, I don't know what you think of. Like, he's in the pile. He's going down. He just, like, what are you going to grab in your cockpit? He shoves an American flag. What's he doing with the American flag in there? I don't know. But he had an American flag shoved up in his suit. And he said, I just thought if I have that, it'll remind me. And I thought, oh. He said, I had this. For me, it was representative of all the people I knew who would be praying for me, he said. And he knew if they found out that he went down, he said, it helped me not to let go of hope, that I just held on to that flag. I knew that I could hold on to it. He said, hope gives you strength. Hope gives you endurance. And I thought, that's powerful, because he partnered with hope. And if that was his way to do it, if it's an American flag, then get the American flag. Whatever it is, get it. And you say, well, I don't know. What do you need to do to get to partner with hope? Whatever it is, get that. But partner with hope. Whatever it takes to partner with hope, you got to partner with hope to get to your future. To sit back and just say, well, I don't understand why I'm not crossing the line. I don't understand why I'm not in the promised land. It's like, yes, God is a factor, but you are a co-worker with Christ. You can't partner with fear and expect this have this expectant hope. You can't partner with fear and have you can't partner with unbelief and expect to walk in hope. I want to do a little backstory. Last week, we talked about Mary's encounter with Gabriel. And today, I want to talk about the continuance of that encounter. But before that encounter with Mary had with Gabriel, I want to look at an encounter back a little bit in the beginning of the chapter with Zechariah's encounter with Gabriel. And that's John the Baptist's father. Okay? So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So Zechariah is supposed to go in. He's a priest. He's supposed to go in the temple, burn the incense. So he goes in. He goes in verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, verse 11. The angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. Fear falls on him. But the angel says, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Now just think, he sees you're afraid, you see Gabriel, you're going to be afraid. It's like an angel standing there in the presence. No one's supposed to be in there. He goes in there, and the angel says, calls him by name, tells him not to be afraid. That would have been helpful. And he says, your prayers have been heard. And then he starts to speak like a prophetic word. He's saying, your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. I mean, he should be like getting real happy right about now. You got my attention. He said, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, hush. First thing, look what he says. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. I mean, an angel is standing there telling you. You're talking to an angel. He calls you by name. He starts to prophesy. The testimony of Gabriel should have been enough that angels are messengers of God. I mean, come on. If an angel appears and he starts speaking to you, it's like, hello, I'm sorry I'm going to bag on men, but I'm going to do it anyway. But men are a little slow to believe the testimony of heavenly messengers in this situation. We just saw last week, Mary's like, so be it as unto your word. And the man's like, how am I supposed to do that? I'm a bit old and she's a bit old. And he starts to right away. What did he do? Mary partnered with hope, and he starts to partner with unbelief. He's like, how's this going to happen? And so the angel's just, verse 20, he says, behold, you will be mute, based on what you just said. Zip it. Boom. You will be mute, not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Basically, as a consequence, because you open your mouth in unbelief, you partner with unbelief in my presence, hello, you're going to be struck. You're going to be dumb. Choom, you're not going to speak. I mean, do you think God's trying to show us something? That maybe we don't need to, like, what else does he need? Gabriel's speaking to you. What do you need? You need the heavens to open, a choir to appear. You need, like, Moses to come back. What is he looking for? And he's just basically like, because you didn't believe my words. And maybe God doesn't want us speaking and partnering with unbelief, because his son is going to be a voice for the Lord, and you're going to blow it, this whole thing. Right? You're not going to go out there and just like throw a bunch of unbelief on Elizabeth. So we, and she believed, received, got pregnant, and we know the story. So the angel comes to Mary, and the angel comes to Mary later, and Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant. So you fast forward, Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, then he appeared to Mary. That's where we were. So this is a little backstory. And so now we go forward a little bit, verse 39, Luke 1:39. Mary arose in those days after she had talked to Gabriel. And it says, Mary arose in those days, and she went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. She entered the house of Zacharias, who wasn't speaking much. Didn't speak much before. How'd it go today? Good. Can you tell me anything else, baby? Now you can't say anything. I'm just joking. I'm really bagging on men. This is bad. I need to retrieve this. Sorry. So she enters the house, Zachariah, and she greets Elizabeth. So Mary comes in, she enters Zechariah's house, she greets Elizabeth, and it happened that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Prophetic, what the angel said just happened, right? Prophecy to John the Baptist's dad, Mary walks in, and boom, it happens, right? So prophecy fulfilled, baby's filled with the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit at 6 months in the womb. She speaks out with a loud voice, blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it grant? Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Verse 45 is what I want you to focus on. In verse 45, it says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord, unlike my husband. No. She's blessing Mary but look at the contrast. So Zacharias, he partners with unbelief. Mary partners with hope. We got to take away from this. We've got to be those who will partner with hope, even when we're challenged with what he says. They were old in advance. You're not supposed to have a baby when you're that old. But God said it. I'm going to partner with hope, or I'm going to partner with logic and unbelief. No, I'm not going to partner with unbelief. Hello. And so we need to be like that. I love how the Passion Translation puts this. It says this, Luke, in Luke 1:44. It says, the moment you came in the door and greeted me, my baby danced inside of me with ecstatic joy. Woohoo! I don't know if it's a pirouette in there. It's like he was a man. He was a dancer too. I don't know. Praising Jesus. In the presence of the Lord, he danced. And then it says this, and I love this in verse 45. He says, great favors upon you, for you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. We need to partner with hope. I mean, you might not be like so dramatic as some pilot that shot down out of the sky that you're like ready to die or get captured as a prisoner of war, but like you got a fight in you. Hello, you got a fight in you. There's still a fight in you. There's a future, and we get to fight for that future. There's still a fight on the table. And you could say, well, you know, like, you know, I don't have very many things. I don't have this huge life and all that. I don't have a lot to fight for. Open your Bible. There's thousands of promises in there just waiting for you. And you can partner with those promises to walk into a great future. So I want to talk about that as we kind of unwrap it, kind of like if I could throw a present out there. Let's just unwrap it a little bit, and we'll take it home with us. Number one, so I want to talk about partnering with the promise. Number one, partnering with the promise. Mary said, behold, let it be to me according to your word. She partnered with the word of God. She partnered with the promise of God. I like this. Joe Stowell put it this way. He said, hope is a fragile commodity. And in our day, you know, like, turn on the television, where do you see hope? When life is disappointing, our optimism is replaced by feelings of discouragement and hopelessness. Before long, we run the risk of becoming cynics who believe there is nothing in which we can confidently hope. And this was the landscape when Jesus entered, and I said this last week, when Jesus entered the world, there was this cynical hopelessness. It was already there. They already had their challenges by the Romans. They had their challenges by all this stuff. Their taxes were insane. If you look at how they taxed the people, it was crazy. And before the fall of the Roman Empire, their taxes were like above 50% taxes. They were crazy taxes. And so true hope was born at Christmas. But the real tragedy of that first Christmas is that very few people really realized that hope was introduced. Very few people could grasp what really happened. He's born in a manger. He's born in obscurity. He's born in a place. It's like, how did that happen? Well, there was a whole bunch of prophetic signs to that. He was born in a birthing place where the Passover lamb, it was prophetic of his death at his birth. He was wrapped with those cloth. Do you know that they would take the cloth, and that's what they would wrap the lambs that they would take unblemished for the sacrifice? They would wrap them in the same cloth Jesus was wrapped with. When they told the shepherds, go and see Jesus, you'll see a prophetic sign. The prophetic sign was this. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I used to think, what's a swaddling clothes? They would put these things around them, but that's the same thing they would put over the little lambs that were going to be the sacrifice for the unblemished, so the lambs wouldn't be blemished, so they could be used for the sacrifices. Hello? Jesus was being birthed, but he was for the sacrifice of our sins. And the prophetic sign was just that he was born to die for us and to remove our sins. That was the prophetic he sent the shepherds to go see. So here's Jesus, who's birthed to give us hope that who can obey all the laws and regulation? Who could live a life? Zero, nada, none of us. The Bible tells us in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. We've all sinned. You say, well, that person looks like a good person. I'm not as good as that person. One sin is enough to go to hell. It's the same. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. But Christ lived sinless. He was birthed. He was born to go and to pay the price for us. The only one who could was the one who was spotless, unblemished by sin. So Mary, she partners with this promise. And this hope is born. And we're celebrating it right now. And there's a lot of hopeless people. It's not hard to share your faith. They don't have hope. Share the hope of Jesus. My goodness, hope for the forgiveness of sins, hope for a bright future. Some people see nothing good in their future. Hope for God's presence in their daily living, that God will actually walk through your day with you, that he will be Emmanuel, God with you, God in you, that he'll enable us to forget the past and set our sights on a future that doesn't disappoint. A hope that because of Jesus is... It's a certainty with Jesus. He said, my word will not come back empty. It will not come back void. Versus just tying it to a finger-crossed wish. They don't have, what are they going to hope? What are they putting their future in? I would say Jesus is the one who holds our future. When it looks hopeless in your future and you go, I don't know how I'm getting out of my way out of this one, I always remind myself, I'm in the hands of Jesus Christ. When John was in Revelation and he gave him the wisdom and the revelation in that place and he looked at him, he held the seven stars. Those seven stars were the bishops of those churches. It says the angels, but the angels we know were not angels. They were actually the leaders of the churches. The messengers is who they were, because he tells them to repent. You can't tell an angel to repent. They weren't angels. They were messengers, because God doesn't tell angels to repent unless they're devils. They were the key leaders of those churches. And the point is that I'll never forget that God holds those key leaders in his hand. Jesus holds us in his hand, and Jesus holds the future. So no matter what the world says, God holds my future. My destiny is as sure as the hands of God. Your destiny is in the hands of God. The question is, will you partner with him and make it really easy instead of hard? If you tie yourself up in sin, you're like trying to run a race like a potato sack person, trying to run the Olympics. Doesn't work. So do you see what I'm saying? We need to get free from that and tie ourselves to hope and not to sin. We need to get free from baggage and release forgiveness so that we can move into what God has called us to. And with that, we get to carry this confident hope, this confident that, and so what are we carrying? Are we carrying a confident hope? Mary was spoke of her, blessed is she who believes there will be fulfillment of the things which were told to her of the Lord. Shane Brooks said this, the evidence of God's favor, and I think this is pretty evident. When somebody is blessed with God's favor, Mary had favor and she was carrying. We're going to carry like Mary. Pretty soon you start showing when you're carrying, don't you? If you're expecting, if you're carrying, pretty soon you show. Hello? Well, something's going to show in your life if you're carrying the favor of God. There's going to be fruit on the tree. It's not just... with no fruit. There'll be fruit. You say, how do I know you're a Christian? There's fruit that says I'm a Christian. It's not my accuracy in the prophetic. It's my fruit that shows. It's not the works I do. It's the fruit that's developed. I'm just saying, evident, God's favor is evidence. There's an evidence of that favor. And at the time she found favor in the sight of God, she brought forth something. So when she found favor, she brought forth. Think about it. Noah had favor. He brought forth an ark. Crazy favor. Think about it. Abraham had favor. He brings forth a nation. I mean, think about it. David had favor. Then we see the throne. You know, you can just look at it. Mary had favor. She brought forth the deliverer, not just a child, but she brought forth living hope that was birthed. And he's still alive today. He still goes with you. It's a living hope that you can't kill him. They can't take him out. This is one of the things that just blows me away, that cults cannot understand. You have a living hope. I had these guys come to my door. Actually, it was a guy and a girl. And they were trying to preach for me to become one of their witnesses. So I talked with them. Teresa goes, man, you talked to him a long time. I'm like, it's okay. That just stops him from messing up other people. I didn't tell him I'm a pastor. I just start talking to him. But then I start listening to their words and their gospels. It's a hopeless gospel, you know? And they want me to become one of their witnesses. And I'm like, dude, I love Jehovah. And so I'm telling them some cool stuff. But then I find out they're dispensationalists. I never even studied it. But I realize, I'm like, you don't even believe in the power of Jehovah. They don't. They're dispensationalists. They believe that, there's God doesn't do signs and wonders today. They're all waiting for this thing to happen in the future. I said, I just got to tell you, one gentleman was African-American. I said, I go to Africa every year, and I got to tell you, that thing won't preach in Africa. I did it with respect. I just said, I'm telling you right now, you take this message you're bringing to me and take it to Africa, it's not going to preach. I said, there's people in Africa alive today because of the power of God still works today. So I just, testimonies. What are you going to do with the testimony? Little baby was dying, prayed for the baby. God, Jehovah, healed the baby. And then the baby grew up and the baby looks and the mom came in and said, here's the Mzungu that prayed for you. I didn't tell him, here's the white person who prayed for you. But I just said, you know, I went back to see the child that is alive today because we came with the power of God. I said, you're going door to door with a message, but it's a powerless gospel. And it doesn't have hope. It's a hope that's going to happen, but where's the hope in today? And I started to say, like, okay, so basically we're watching him. Jesus is still doing stuff. He's still healing the sick, right? Deaf ears opening, blind eyes opening, lame walking. All this stuff's happening. So try to tie it in to kind of make it with him. But what I'm saying is we carry a hope that they don't carry. So you could just go, you're Jehovah's Witness. Oh, my God, I shut the door. Oh, get away. But we can give them hope, too. I'm like, you need to reach for something deeper because what you have is powerless. It's a powerless hope. And I wasn't disrespectful, but I just tried to make it clear. I hope I put a hunger in them to have a hope for more than what they had. Because their gospel is a powerless hope. I'm serious. I was so sad. I said, so what would happen if your wife, I told the gentleman, I said, what would happen if your wife was sick and heading to the hospital ready to die? And we said, well, we'd let Palomar Health take care of it. And I'm like, oh. God heals. People are alive because Jehovah still heals, and you're going to trust Palomar Health? I'm not trying to bash the Jehovah Witness. I'm just trying to tell you, let's preach a gospel where we're going to trust Palomar Health and the hospitals. I'm all for it. If I don't get healed, I'll show up at Palomar, but first I'm going to lean on Jehovah God. And if it's not happening, I'm good if doctor. I'll do anything to get healed, but I mean, like, God heals first. Let's go to God first. Hello, what if someone doesn't get healed? I'm like, what about all the people that do? We can't give up hope because of a bad experience we had. We can't throw away our doctrine because we had experience. And dispensationalists throw it away. I'm just saying, we've got to partner with a hope, and that hope's a living hope. So she partnered with the Word of God, but then it released the power of partnering with the prophetic, which is the second point, and partnering with the prophetic. And Joseph had to partner with the prophetic. Think about it. It wasn't just Mary. Come on, man. If you're in a relationship, if you're here, if you're married in this room, you know, God needs to visit both of you. God visits Mary. Mary comes back. She's telling Joseph, yeah, the angel came. Yeah, I'm going to get pregnant. And, you know, but it's going to be from God. And the devil messed with Joseph every day. Really? That's never happened. She's pregnant, but it's not another guy. Are you stupid, Joseph? I mean, can you imagine getting barraged by all of the things that the devil put in his ear? Matthew 1:18, now at the birth of Jesus was follows after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. So they were engaged. There's about a 10 to 12 month engagement. They betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away, to divorce her. Okay, a just man. I want to stop here because the just man doesn't just mean just. Because see, just could also say, you're pregnant, we're not married, it wasn't me, you're going to die. Stoner. It's not just. The word just means, this word doesn't mean like justice, just like that. It means, the word means kind, tender, merciful. Joseph was kind, tender, and merciful. Husbands are like, can you just back off? Joseph was kind and tender and merciful. He was so attached to Mary, he didn't want her to have public shame. That's why he was saying he was wanting to divorce her. He wasn't like, it's just, I don't think I want you. He wasn't a hard guy. He was a very soft-hearted guy, and that's why he was going to do what he was going to do. He didn't want her to be exposed to a public shame. So he thought about these things. Okay, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, so heaven's knowing what he's thinking, and they're like, hello, let's send somebody down here. Behold, the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. All this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, in verse 23 is really important. He says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took him to take Mary as his wife, and blah, 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 25. And he did not know her. He didn't have sex with her until after Jesus was born. That's what they're saying. So basically, what you need to see here in verse 23, Joseph was a man of the word. God didn't just go, let's throw the lottery. It came to Joseph and Mary. Awesome, let's do this thing. Joseph was a man of the word. And if you study Joseph, Joseph knew the scriptures. So when Mary comes and Mary says, angel appeared to me. Angel said this. Angel said that. I'm going to be pregnant. And Joseph's like, got it. But like, I need some help here, God. So God sends, and he sends prophetically. He has a dream. The angel appears in the dream. He speaks to him, but he also gives him a scripture reference in Isaiah. I always get him backwards. Is it 7:14 or 14:7? 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. And Isaiah 7:14, and this is what Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. He wakes up, he just goes to the scroll. The angel told him a little bit after that, but he's like, the Lord said he'll give you a sign. And it's like, Joseph's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She's a virgin, and she's going to bear my son. Oh, this is so good. He's like, thank you, thank you. I needed this. And she'll call his name Emmanuel. And he's like, whew. And then he did everything that was told to him. Because he was a man of the word, and God knew and trusted him, but God coupled with the prophetic. So he partnered with the prophetic, and the prophetic, he verified it with the word, because the prophetic is the curbs of the prophetic are the word of God. The prophetic never runs out. The freeway has curbs, it has dividers, and the word of God are the dividers that you flow down. Are you with me? The prophetic flows, the word of God is the borders. The prophetic doesn't contradict the word of God. Are you with me? God's not going to prophesy and prophesy something that contradicts his word. Are you with me? So he couples with the prophetic, but the prophetic matches the word of God. And that's what Joseph needed. Mary was good enough. The angel appeared. I got it. Joseph's like, show me the word. And he got the word. And this reminded me of a true story when I was like having a major, major decision. Actually, it's the best decision I ever made in my life, except when I received Jesus, is when I made the decision, I am going to ask Teresa to marry me. And we went on a date, so I go on a blind date. So I fly from California, she flies from Florida. We meet in Michigan. So we're in Michigan, the frozen chosen. Snow, slippery, frozen. And then I take her to this restaurant, blind date, first date. We sit down, appetizers. I don't even think we ate appetizers yet. You don't know when, because you don't know. But we sit down, candlelight, beautiful. All right, I got a blind date. I'm sitting here, and God says, that's your wife. And I'm like, I don't remember anything I said all night, probably. I just remember God said, that's your wife. I know the word of the Lord. I'm like, okay. So I faked everyone off with the poker face that I am, and I hung out for a week. Because I knew if I told Pastor Mike or Jill that either of them what I thought, Jill's her best friend, she's going to tell, she's going to blab, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I'm not telling her, and I'm not telling Mike, because if he tells Jill, then I'm sunk. That's her best friend. So I'm like, I didn't tell anybody anything. I went home. And then I'm fasting and praying for like a week. I'm like, I lost like 20 pounds. Are you kidding? Fasting. I'm like, dude, that was crazy. But I fasted and prayed, and God said, didn't change his mind. He's like, after 3 days, I knew it, you know. But I'm like, hey, I'm losing a lot of weight. I think I'll go 3 more days. But anyway, I knew after 3 days that was what I was supposed to do. So I went and bought a wedding ring after 1 week. I did. I went and bought a diamond, got the wedding ring, which she didn't like it, so we got a new one anyway, but whatever. I mean, I bought the wrong color gold. Come on, guys. Is there any guys in the room? Come on. You can trade the thing in. Who cares? I got the one color. She liked the other color. I don't care. I just got the ring. Let me do something. I'm not going to show up and go, what do you want me to bring to you? I'm going to propose with something. Anyway, I bought the ring. I didn't even tell her I liked her. I didn't tell her I liked her. I didn't tell her I loved her. But I had full faith that she's going to be my wife because God said, are you here? I partnered with the prophetic. I stepped up. And then eventually, of course, I told her, slipped a few thing in. She's like on the phone, you know, like what? And then, but that's a whole nother story. Anyway, I'm in San Marcos. I'm driving. I know right where I was. I was right off of right down a couple blocks down the freeway, right off Rancho Santa Fe, and I turned on Mission over there going by Dan O'Dash's house that way. And I was right there on Mission, and then the Lord speaks to me, because I like had a concern about something about our, I was insecure about something. I was like, oh, what am I going to do about this? I never even thought about it. I'm like the guy already ready to, let's go forward with the word of the Lord. And then I'm like, I thought about something, and I went, oh, dog, I never thought of that, God. And then I just kind of prayed. I just said, God, what am I going to do about that? I'm like, I'm not sure. And he says, Daniel 10:12. So I like had to find a place to pull the van over. I pulled over right there because it's kind of dirt on the side. I pull over the van. I'm like, I think I know what the scripture says. And I open up the scripture. And so I'm partnering with the prophetic. This is what I'm trying to tell you. If you're lost in the sauce, just stay with me. Sorry, I went around the bush. Here we go. Daniel 10:12. And he said to me, this is with the scripture. I open the scripture. He says, then he said to me, do not fear Daniel. I'm like, that was pretty good, God. You got me at do not fear Daniel. Got this thing. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come. And then he went on to speak to me. Basically, he just said, trust me. And I'm like, okay, got this thing. I'm not gonna, and I just settled it, moved on, never questioned that again. It wasn't like a huge deal other than the fact that I, if you hear the word of the Lord, you can partner with it. But sometimes all of a sudden you'll like have something in your heart. But like, what God did was I partnered with the prophetic, but the prophetic also was right there in the word. Also, guess what? Who was the angel that spoke to Daniel? It's Gabriel. Anyway, just saying. I thought that was cool. More cool for me, probably. But, and Joseph had a similar encounter. He just heard the word. He partnered with the prophetic. He saw it. He found it right there in the word. He just said, I'm going to do this thing. And he moved forward. And history has never been the same. I mean, that's all he needed to hear. He's going to save his people from his sin. He wasn't so much concerned about, you know, making history as much as he was concerned about the legacy. That Jesus is going to save the people from their sins. And, you know, partnering with the prophetic, we release us and others from the clutches of their today, because sometimes today has a hold of people, and we get to move into our God future, and that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to just bring this thing and land this. Hopefully the wheels are going to hit soon. I only have two practical applications to hand you. Are you getting something good out of this? The two things I wanted to just add to this was our practical applications for today is we need to fight for the promises of God. What are you bringing to the battle? 2 Corinthians 10:6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. I mean, there's a time to just stand, but there's a time to fight. There's times when you're going to have to fight for something. You say, well, I don't know what to fight with. There's thousands of promises in that book. You say, I just need someone to prophesy over me. 66 prophets right there. 66 books in that Bible ready to release. There's thousands of promises there. How about you go into the Word, partner with the Word, and then partner with the prophetic, because the word will speak to you just as much. I'm not against prophecy. I have hundreds of prophets or prophecies from people that have prophesied. I love prophecy. But I got to tell you right now, you can partner with the word of God. You can partner with the promises of God and then fight with them, war with them. I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about warring with the word and actually starting to speak it. We were just looking at something in our own life and we were like, this is just ridiculous. So we fasted and prayed. She fasted, I prayed. And it's awesome how we do that together. But we just seriously started to fast and pray, and then we've seen a breakthrough in areas. And then Teresa's like, look, when we fast and pray, stuff happens. And I'm like, this is awesome. Keep fasting. I'll keep praying. But we're fasting and praying. No, we're praying together, but we're warring with the words that were prophesied, and we'll declare those. Are you with me? So we see something that's not lining up with what God said was our hope. So we're going to declare it and start prophesying and praying, warring with that, and just saying, this is going to happen, and it'll happen. So war. Get crazy in your prayer time. And the next one is maintain a passion for God's word. It said, great favor is upon you, for you have believed every word spoken from the Lord. Do you really have a passion to find what the Lord is saying? Do you have a passion to read your Bible? Are you passionate about You know, we used to just buy a new Bible every year because you read and it's like a new, you know, a new translation. We'd buy a new translation every year. And so I just got a new Bible and I'm loving it. You know, it's like, just what's it take? Just get passionate about it. I mean, if your marriage isn't passionate, you got to do something. If your relationship with God's not passionate, do something. If your reading's not passionate, do something. But keep that passion for the Word. If you're passionate about the Word, you'll go in, you'll get it, and they'll come alive. If you're complaining about the hope and you're hopeless, it's like, if you don't have passion for God's Word, you're not going to end up with hope. And people just say, well, that was just Mary. Mary had favor. Mary, Carrie liked Mary, but Mary had favor from God. Look, we as believers can posture ourselves to receive favor. We as believers can posture ourselves to receive favor by our own passion and devotion. I think God just like, he looked down and he saw a passion and devoted that Joseph and Mary were and said, this is somebody that I can trust to carry my son. And God's looking for those people that will rightly divide the word and passionately be lovers of the word. Psalmist said, that word I've hidden in my heart. When the word's not in our heart, sometimes we sin against him. I'm just saying. And you say, well, I just don't know what to do. Every day we choose what we partner our time with. And our passion level, if I had a meter and at my heart, and I had to say, what's my passion level? And I go, well, you know, that person's passionate. You know, that whole family's passionate. You know, I'm not in that family. I'm different. You know, No, the passion level is directly related to the choices. It's the choices I make. If I'm not getting hungry for the word, I'm not going to be. If I'm not passionate, you're passionate about worship. Well, then worship, and get passionate about it. What are you passionate about? If your relationship, your marriage isn't, there's no passion in it. That's your choice. You made a choice not to. We just got busy with life and kids. No, you got to put the fire. You got to put the wood on the fire. You need to put, if you want heat, you got to put something on the fire. You got to fuel the flame. It's your choice if it's not hot. And if your passion and your heart's not on fire, it's because you're making choice. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to say, like, it's our choice. Mary had a choice. And so we have a choice as well in life. And favor isn't all just a chance issue. I'm saying that our disciplines can produce something that's very delightful. If we can get past the discipline, then we can find the delight in God. That's what I was trying to communicate. So just in summary, we realize that we have to partner with the promises and partner with the prophetic. The wise men did it. Joseph did it. Mary did it. Just the shepherds did it. They came. The whole Christmas that we're celebrating, people partnered with the prophetic. And we need to fight for the promises and maintain a passion. And I just want to pray with you where you're at. Father, I pray that this would go into their hearts and sink deep. And I pray, God, that you would let it find a place that helps them in their future. That they would know that future good, that Jesus holds it, but they partner with him to bring it to pass. I bless each life. And I pray, Father, for your intended good. I pray, God, that you would untangle those who are hindered. And I pray that you would release them into their future, the hope that you have for them, your plans for good and not evil. And I just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise. I don't know. I just can't. It's hard not to just give him praise.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.